Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitz, the Daf Chav Beis. We begin on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top, with the words Rova Omar. Let's remind ourselves that in the bottom Mishnah on Chav Aleph Amud Beis, we have three things, Shlosha Dvorim, that Rabban Gamliel was machmir like the opinion of Beis Shammai. The first one, which we had discussed at the end of yesterday's shiur, was Ein Tomin Es Achamim. The gears of the Mishnah was Lechatchila, and the Mishnah is beyond the word Lechatchila. In any event, we said you're not allowed to do Hatmana on Yontif for Shabbos. That was one of the things that Rabban Gamliel prohibited in accord with the opinion of Beis Shammai. So we had explained at the end of yesterday's shiur that the question was, did you or did you not make an Erev Tavshilin? If you made an Erev Tavshilin, so then why would you not allow to do this according to Beis Shammai? If you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, then why would you be allowed to do this according to Beis Hillel? So we brought down an example, Teretz number one yesterday, that we're dealing with that you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, but there was no other food for Shabbos, so we allowed you to do one thing. And we brought down this price, so you're allowed to do one thing for Yontif for Shabbos. Today we're going to have a different teretz. Rav Amar, seven lines to the top, Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Rav says, Lolum Sheiniach. We are talking in our Mishnah. We did make an Erev Tavshilin. Aye, then why does Beis Shammai say you're not allowed to? Vishayni Hatmona. Because we want to suggest that Hatmona, insulating, is different. Because there is no reason to insulate on Yontif for Yontif. You would eat it right now. It's hot. So if you're insulating it, you're obviously doing it for the next day. And therefore, the Demuch Chamilsa, it's clear from your action that Daiti the Shabbata, that you're doing this for the purposes of Shabbos Kovid. So therefore, that's why Rava says, even Beis Shammai, who allows an Erev Tavshilin to prepare baking and cooking, would not allow you to go do Hatmana based upon this. But Abai says that's incorrect. Abai says, we learned yesterday, and we learned again today, Chananya Omer, the opinion of Chananya is that Beis Shammai Omerim, Ein ofen elu im kein erev bepas, vein vashin elu im kein erev betavshil, the ein tonim elu im kein hayu lo chamin timunim erev yantiv. If you didn't make an erev tavshilin for baking, separate for cooking, separate for hatmana, then you're right, you can't go and do any of these actions yantiv for Shabbos. But if you did each of these actions erev yantiv, ha hayu lo chamin timunim, if you did do hatmana Erev Yontif for making an Erev Tavshilin with Hatmana. So then, Miya Ovid, if you did it, you'd be allowed to. So how can you tell me, Rava, that no, Beis Shammai doesn't allow you to make an Erev Tavshilin for Hatmana because it's too much looking like you're doing it for Shabbos? They clearly said that you're allowed to do so. From the fact that if you didn't do it, you're not allowed to do Hatmana, the implication is if you did it, you are allowed to do Hatmana. So if you made an Erev Tavshilin, specifically using Hatmana, if you were Matmin, Erev Yontif, so then you are allowed to be Matmin from Yontif to Shabbos, kash on this approach of Rava. And therefore, Abai says it's wrong. Hello, Abai. Abai says, how do you reconcile the Mishnah? What are we talking about if it's dealing with an Erev Tavshilin? Why can't you do Hatmana, according to even Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, Abai answers, Kagon She'erev Lazeh, below Erev Lazeh. He did an Erev Tavshilin with baking. He did an Erev Tavshilin with cooking. But he didn't do an Erev Tavshilin with Hatmana. And therefore, this goes according to the opinion of Chananya. He, Valiba de Beis Shammai. Chananya says, you're only allowed to go and do what you prepared the Erev Tavshilin for. So if you did cooking only, then you can't do Hatmana. And that's the case that we're talking about. He made an Erev Tavshilin with cooking. Therefore, he's allowed to cook Yontif for Shabbos with this Erev Tavshilin, but since he didn't do something Hatmana on Erev Yontif, he's not allowed to go do Hatmana. Interestingly, Tosus brings down over Yaloch Lamaisa, Tav Tosus of Adlikin Lenol Ner, that they also seem to say that you have to go and specifically set up a Ner. Mikan Mashu Shetzorich Lahask Bebirchas Erev Tavshilin, Yeshori Levashule. That's why when you do the Erev Tavshilin, Lamaisa, we say that you should bedavka say with this Erev Tavshilin, which is usually, again, we put it both a baked good and a tavshul. So we have, let's say, a matzah and a hard boiled egg. So you take the Erev Tavshilin and you say, Shori Levashule, with this, I'm entitled to now go and cook on Yontif to Shabbos, and Laafuye, that's baking, I'm allowed to bake, and you also say, Udladluke Shraga. And therefore, in Bishul Hadlaka, Lo Hisna, if you didn't mention the Hadlaka, at least in theory, Mashma Hecha Dehe Asu Lahadlik Lo Rak Ner Echad, then you'd only be able to go light one candle, the minimum amount, for Yontif to Shabbos. And that's why we do say in the Nusach, Ladluke Shraga. Okay. Let's go weiter. The Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, the Ein Zok Vina Seminora, the second thing that Rabban Gamliel was machmir on like Beis Shammai was that you're not allowed to stand up a menorah. Menorah means a candlestick. Now, what exactly is the problem in standing up a candlestick? My kavod, what malacha is he doing by standing up a candlestick? There's no isser involved. Someone says, yes, there is. Amar Rechinina Bar Bisna. Rechinina Bar Bisna says, we're dealing over here with a candlestick that's made up of component parts. Hacha b'menorah shel chulios askin. We're dealing with a candlestick that's made up of parts. It's broken down into several parts, and you have to put them together. And therefore, when you put it together on Yontif, the mechze kibone, it looks like you're actually building in this situation, and bone is technically a problem, at least according to Beis Shammai. The Beis Shammai sabre, yesh binyan bekelim, and the Bach adds the words the yesh stira bekelim. Beis Shammai's opinion is that there is both binyan and stira in regards to kelim, and therefore you're not allowed to do this on Yontif. And Rabbi Gamliel was machmir like Beis Shammai in this situation. As opposed to Beis Hillel Sabre, ain't binyan b'kelim, ain't stira b'kelim. Beis Hillel says, in regards to kelim, we don't have any concerns about binyan and stira, putting it together and taking it apart. So Beis Hillel would be allow you to be zokvinis hamis menorah, this menorah that comes in component parts, and Beis Shammai would not. Rabbi Gamliel held like Beis Shammai. While we're talking about this din of a menorah, so the Gemara is going to have a couple of other dinim related to lighting. Ula ikla levei Rav Yehuda. Ula went to the house of Rav Yehuda, and kom shamei, Rav Yehuda saw that Ula shamish, that's what Rashi says, who was Jewish, zokaf le lishraga, straightened out the candlestick. Now, why did he do this? So Rashi explains that his purpose was to save the oil. Shaya wrote that she is stale kashem in leachorav. He tilted the candlestick in a way that the oil would go away from the wick. V'lo yimoshech achar psila, and therefore it wouldn't get attached to the wick, the techabe, and the light would go out sooner, and this way he would save the oil. Rav Yehuda was upset about this. Esa Rav Yehuda l'ula. How are you allowed to do this? How could you let your shamish do this? Hanosin shem baner. After all, we learned in a braisa that if a person puts oil into a menorah, into a candlestick, chayev mishum mavir. If you add additional oil on Shabbos, so then that's essentially a malacha of being mavir, of burning. And hamistapik ben, if you take out oil from that candlestick, chayev mishum mechabit, then you're extinguishing it earlier, and you'd be over mechabe. So how could your shamish do this? He was essentially removing the oil from the wick. How are you allowed to do that? So Ula said, unfortunately, omalei lavadaita, I didn't know my shamish was going to do that. I never would have let him do this. As you said, it's not allowed. Furthermore, now the girsa that we have is omar rab. On the side it says that the girsa should be omar rav Yehuda. In any event, whether it was rab or rav Yehuda, he tells us another din. Kanva, and on the side it says the girsa should be kansa, whether it's kanva or kansa, whatever, we'll explain what it is in a second, shari, that is permissible. So Rashi understands that this kanva is limchot rosh hapsila, to go cut off a little bit at the head of the wick, shinasa pechem, that became a little bit charcoaled, and you're allowed to do this while the wick is burning in order that it should light and flow better. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosus doesn't like this. He says later on in the Gemara, on Daf Lamed Beis, we're going to have a discussion about this, where it says you're not allowed to do that. And therefore, Tosus says there's two types of limchot, and this is talking about that the candle had already gone out, and what you're doing is making it easier to light the next time. B'kach nochek ishiyadik oso the next time, and that is permissible over here. So that's what either Rav or Yehuda said, that this kanva to go and cut off a little bit at the top of the wick where there is already a charcoal formed, either while it's lit, like Rashi says, or after it's gone out to make it easier to light the next time, like Tosa says, that is permissible. Mark continues and asks, Boy mine Abba Bar Marta me Abai. Abba Bar Marta asks Abai the following shaila. Are you allowed? Mahu l'chabos esaner mipnei dover acher. Is a person allowed to go and take out a light, to put out the light, in order for dover acher? Rashi says, l'shamish b'tosso, for man to have relations with his wife. So you're supposed to do that in the dark, and therefore, would you be allowed to extinguish a light on yontif in order to go and allow yourself to have permitted relations? So Abaye says, amalo, evshur b'vayit zacher. Why do you have to go and put out the light? Go to another room and have relations in the other room. So Abba Bar Matzah says, okay, that's great if you have another room. And Lubayis Acher, if you don't have another room, my, what's the halacha? So again, Abaya answers him, you're allowed to go and make a mechitza that will block the light, so to say, and now you're in a darkened area, and that's permissible. The Mefarshim discussed that there are problems with making a mechitza, so the simplest answer is that it already was a mechitza that was one tefach, and once you already have a one tefach, you're allowed to add on to it, so it's not a problem. In any event, you make up a mechitza in a permissible way, that's what Abaya said, rather than extinguishing the light. So Abba Bar Matzah is persistent, and he says, what happens, ain't lo lasos mechitza, if you're unable to make a mechitza, you can't make one in a halachically acceptable way, my, would you be allowed to put out the light in order to have relations? So Abaye again says, Evsha lichfos lovis a kli, go and cover up the light, go and put a kli over it so it won't extinguish it, you'll have enough air coming in, and you'll block the light, that's preferable. Again, Abba Bar Matzah says, ain't lo kli, what happens if he is unable to do this, my, are you allowed to go and put out a light in order to have relations on Yontif? That would be Simchas Yontif, so is this allowed or not allowed? Finally, Abaye says, Amalei, if this is the only possible solution, the answer is no, you're not allowed to usher. Abba Bar Matzah says, but why is it usher? Esvei, after all, we learned in the following Braisa, Ein mechabin as a bekas, you're not allowed to go and extinguish a plain block of wood. A bekas is a block of wood. You're not allowed to go and just stop that, because kidei lochos alav, because you want to save the money, that you're not allowed to do. However, in bishul shelo yis'ashen habayis, if this is flaming up and it's causing smoke to go all over the house, which is going to be uncomfortable for you to be there on yontif, or it's going to ruin the pot that it's in, going to ruin the food that it's in. Some say it's going to ruin the pot. You won't be able to use the pot anymore in yontif. Others say it'll ruin the food that you have. So then it's mutter. It's permissible. So in other words, for simchas yontif, you're allowed to. That you shouldn't have a smoky house or a destroyed pot. So why wouldn't you be allowed to go put out the light for the Simchas Yontif of having relations? So the same thing should apply in this situation. It should be mutter. So Abaye says, no, it depends who you're going like. Amalei, this opinion that you're bringing down in this brisa is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Hai Rabbi Yehudahi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we're going to learn in Yitzhak Shem in a week. And Daf Chav Ches, as Rashi points out, that machshire ocho nefesh shoru. Rabbi Yehuda permits you to do even machshire ocho nefesh. Vidorish, he says, the pasuk yeosel lochem means lechol tzorcheichem, not only for the actual ocho nefesh, but even the preparations for the ocho nefesh. And this would be therefore tzorcheichem hu, in terms of the lo yis'ashen abayis or akdera. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says it's permissible. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, therefore, that you'd be allowed to go and extinguish the light in order to have tashmish. That would also be included in the machshire ochel nefesh heter. But that's only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Hai Rabbi Yehuda hi. However, when I said it's aser, ki amina ana al rabbanon, I said that it's aser because that's the opinion of the rabbanon that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda over there on Daf Chav Ches. Tosa says, but we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So why didn't Abaye say the halacha lamaisa? So Tosa says, because we're going to learn over there that that is the halacha. However, it says ve'ein morin kein. In the bottom Tosos, he says, even though anan paskina lekamon halacha Rabbi Yehuda, nevertheless, ein morin kein. You're not allowed to go publicize that, teach that halacha. If somebody did it and asked, what's the psak? So then you can tell him, no, what you did was mutter. But if he comes to say, can I do this? So then we don't paskin that you can tell him that. That's the first teretz that Tosa says. Alternatively, Tosa says, that which we said, this drasha, that's only allowable for something related to ochel nefesh. So something that you're just using it, not for ochel nefesh purposes, that even Rabbi Yehuda would say is not allowed. Okay. Where has a very similar question? Can you go and put out a fire on Yontif? So Gemara says, "Hey, Chadika, Sakonas Nefashos." Very important to realize that if there's any concern of Sakonas Nefashos, so then local Maboyle. I'm not asking that question because Dafil B'Shabbos Shari that would be permissible under even Shabbos. Never mind Yontif. Situation because Pikuach Nefesh is Doches Kol HaTorah Kul except the three cardinal sins. So Abaye is saying to Rabba, my question is as follows: Ki Kol Mabayli Mishum Ibud Mamon. My, if it's only to save you money, so you have a fire in a controlled area and it's zero chance of Pikuach Nefesh, zero chance. But it's in a controlled area, but it's going to destroy everything in that controlled area. So it's in a tub, and you have important papers there, and it's going to burn those papers, and then the fire will go out. Are you allowed to go because of the financial loss of money to put that out on Yontif. So Rabbi says, no, Amalei, Osir. So Abai asks the same question that Abba Bar Maase asked a moment ago. Esve, we learned on Daf Chav Ches, Ein Mekatnin Es HaBekas, you're not allowed to go and put out a block of wood, only if it's Kedei Lachosula, because you're afraid that you're going to suffer financial loss. You don't want that block of wood to go out. However, being Bishul Shalosis Ashin Abayis Okdera, but if it's to prevent the house from getting all smoky, or that it will ruin your pot, or ruin the food, then it's permissible. So, to protect the house from being smoky, you're allowed to. So, certainly to protect the house from burning down, even though there's zero Pikuach Nefashos concern, wouldn't that also, where are you going to eat? Rashi says, you're not going to have a place to eat if your house burns down. So, why can't you do it to protect your house? That's what Abayi asked Rabbah. And Rabbi gives the same terrors that we gave a moment ago. Hi, Rabbi Yehuda. That permissibility to go and do that is only according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But what I was saying, it's also Ki Kamina and Al Rabbanon. I was saying the Pesach of the Rabbanon. Again, a similar question. And we're going to have a series of questions that Ravashi and Amemar are going to talk about in regards to putting medicine in the eye. So, boy, mine Ravashi, mine Amemar. Ravashi asks Amemar the following question. Are you allowed to go and color your eyes on Yontif? Now, it doesn't mean to just put on makeup. It means for medicinal purposes. And here's Ravashi fully explaining his question to Amemar. He says, hey, chodika sakana, if we're dealing with a sakana to the vision, for example, if it's one of these medical conditions, could go in rira. Rashi explains that rira is like pus coming out of the eye. Maglid tomid, it's a very thick discharge secretion coming out of the eye. Or ditza, Rashi says ditza is like a piercing pain, shinokev kamo macha, it's like you have a needle in your eye type of a pain. Or dama, if you have blood coming out of your eye. Or demosa, if you have excessive tearing. Or kadachta, Rashi explains kadachta, it comes with the lotion of soref, is burning. And it gives all these foreign language terms for all of these ideas. And this would be a certain type of a burning in your eye. So if it is utchilas uchlo, Rashi explains utchilas uchlo means utchilas acholi shokolelo. If it's at the start of any one of these illnesses, this rira, ditzo, domo, dimoso, or kadachta, if it's at the start of this illness, lo miboyle. Ravashi says, I'm not asking you that question because clearly that would be allowed. That people would be Shabbos Shari because it would be Sakana Sever. You would lose your vision. And therefore, I know that you'd be allowed to do that. Kikom Moili, my question is, Sof Uchla, it's towards the end of this illness and your eye is not in danger anymore. And the only reason you'd be doing something, this Lichol Es Einav, the only reason you'd be putting on this medicine, the salve on the eye, Usha Patsuche Einav. I'm only doing this over here for, as Rashi explains, patsuche eina, lahagi me'oro. To somehow, I think Rashi's saying, to make your vision a little bit clearer. So Ravashi is asking Amemar, is this allowed, Mai? Is this allowed to go and put this type of a salve on your eye to just somewhat make your vision a little bit clearer? So Amemar tells him, no, Amalei, Osir. And we have the same exact shaka v'taya that we had already twice. Esvei, emechabim abakas, v'chule. We go through the Gemara doesn't go through it, but we would ask the same questions we had before. What about that price on Dav Chav Ches, which says you're allowed to do this, so why can't you do this over here? And v'shani, like in the Shashina. And Amema, we respond back to Ravashi the same way that Rabba responded back to Abaye, and Abaye responded back to Abba Bar Marsa, that that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but I was telling you it's also according to the Chachamim. Mora mentions another ma'isa between Amemar and Ravashi. Amemar shari l'michal eino minochri b'shabasa. Amemar did permit a non-Jewish person to go and put this salve, this medical application on the eye for the benefit of the eyesight. He allowed a non-Jewish person to do this to somebody else, or ikad yarme, he allowed it for himself. Amemar gufei kochal eino minochri b'shabasa. He himself had this illness in the eye and allowed a non-Jewish person to go and put this medicine on his eye. Ravashi asked him, how could you do this? Amalei Ravashi l'Amemar, my daitech, what were you thinking that you allowed this to be done? Are you suggesting the Amar Ula b'rei de Rabbi Loi? Is it because Ula, who was the son of Rabbi Loi, said, kol tzorche chola olsen aydenochi b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to do any needs for a sick person via a non-Jewish person on Shabbos, because it's only a din de Rabbanon amir le'akum, and therefore that's pushed aside for medicinal reasons? And the Amar Rav Abnuna, Kol davar she'en bo sakana omer l'rachav yoseh. And similarly, Rav Munet said that if it's not a life-threatening thing, it's life-threatening, a yid can do it. But if it's not a life-threatening thing, then Amir al-Akam is pushed aside in order to do this. Is that your rationale, Rav Ashi asked the Meimer? But that's only true. Hani mili hecha delo misayeya bahadeh. That's when you're passive and the non-Jewish person is doing everything. But here, avomar, when you, Amemar, are having this salve or these drops put in your eye, you're opening and closing your eyes. They call omitzu pasach. So you are a misayeya to this, and a misayeya is not allowed to do this. So if your heta was based upon what Ula Breid Rabbi Loi or Rav Amnuna said, that a non-Jewish person can do something for Chol Shein Bo Sakana on Shabbos, that's only because they're not helping him. The guy is doing the entire thing. But here, you're a misayeya. How is it allowed? Samema tells Rav Ashi, no. The same question that you just asked me, Amalei, Ika Rav Zvid, the Koy Kavosach. Rav Zvid asked me the same thing. And I told him, and I'll tell you, Bishanu Yalei, the answer that I gave to him is the same answer I'm giving to you, Misayeya Ein Bo Mamish. Opening and closing your eyes, that's not considered significant. And where does he get this from? So in the bottom Rashi, he says, Misha Ein Osa Malacha Mamish El Misayeya Ma'at. Somebody that's not really doing anything. He's just helping a little bit as opening and closing your eyes, Kihai, Ubelavu Misabda. And even if he didn't open and close his eyes, the medicine would still be there. Ain bo mamish. That's not considered significant. And based upon the Gemara in Shabbos, where it says in Perikah Matzniyah, Gabi zeh yochol, v'zeh ein yochol. Two people doing something. One person can do it on his own, and the other person can't do it on his own. So in this situation, the person who's doing it, who could have done it on his own, even though he's being assisted, is the one that's chayiv. And the person who couldn't do it on his own is not considered assisting that he would be chayiv. If it's neither one can do it alone, they can only do it together, then both are chayiv. But in the situation where he's really not assisting, the other person can do it on his own, potter. He shouldn't have done this, but he's not going to be chayiv at the raisa. Even though he's helping a little bit, because this misayeya ain't b'mamish, it's not really substantive, and therefore it's not considered forbidden. And that's why Amemer told Rav Zvid, and he told Rav Ashi, my opening and closing the eyes is not significant. One more discussion between Amemer and Rav Ashi. Amemer sharol lemichal eina b'yontiv sheni shirosh Hashanah. Apparently Amemer had this illness again on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and he allowed, either for the other person or for himself, he allowed them to go and put this medication, this salve, lemichal eina, on Yontif Sheni Shol Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Again, Rav Ashi says, how could you do this? Amalei Rav Ashi lameimar, we had learned previously, v'amar Rava, that Mase Beyontif Rishon, Yisasku Bo'amon. We had this previously, that if Nebuch, a person, passes away on the first day of Yontif, so you're not allowed to bury him, but you can bury him via non-Jewish people. And Beyontif Sheni, on the second day, in Chutz Loretz, Yontif Sheni Shogolius, Yisasku Bo Yisrael. Even Yidden are allowed to go bury. We talked about this with Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, Paskin, for the non-Hasidish community, that we don't bury via guys on the second day of Yontif, albeit in the Hasidish communities they do, for the various reasons that they will not be over any of the things that you're not allowed to do. Only certain things are allowed to be done, and the Hasidic communities will listen to their Rabbeim, Rav Moshe says, more so than in the Livnish communities. And therefore, he said, we can't bury on Yontif Sheni. In addition, he said, there's also refrigeration, that Nebuch, the morgues, they have refrigeration, so the mace will not decay. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, we don't go and bury on Yontif Sheni Shogolus, even with Yidden. But the halachically, technically, you're allowed to go and bury on the second day of Yontif, Yisrael. But this is only for a mace. Ultimately, we'll see. But this din of Rava was even allowing it to be done on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Now we turn to Chavez and Beis. Masha Ein came be Beitza. This was a special dispensation only l'kovod ha'meis. But you can't do this for a Beitza. Beitza shenolda, so then you can't have it on the second day of Yontif. So Ravashi says, we should be going according to this, not allowing you to do this Koychel Eina, to go and put the medication on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, just like you can't have the Beitza Shenolda on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because it's a single 48-hour single day. It's Kedusha Richta. So we made an exception because of Kavod HaMeis, but that doesn't mean you can do it for anything else. So that's what Rav Ashi says to Amemer. How could you do this? So Amemer says, Amalei, Anah Kinar Doi Yisraeli. I agree that what you're saying is correct, but I hold like a different opinion. I hold like the opinion of the Nar Doi. What did the Chachamim Nar Doi say? The Amri, Af Beveitza. They disagreed. Masha Ein Kein Beveitza. They said, no, The same thing applies to the Beitza. Aye, what's your concern? Am I Daitach Dilma Ma'abre Le Elul? That maybe, in fact, that it's Elul that was Me'ubar, and then the first day of Rosh Hashanah that you held was really the 30th day of Elul, and now the second day of Rosh Hashanah is really the first day of Tishrei, and it's really Yom Tiv? No, that's not ever going to happen. Hamar Rav Chinina Bar Kahana, Mimos Ezra Ve'elach, Lo Motzinu Elul Me'ubar. One time it happened, but since then, since the days of Ezra, they never ever were Ma'aber Elul to have 30 days. So therefore, we really know that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei, and the second day of Rosh Hashanah is Beis Tishrei. It's not really Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, I hold like the Chachamim in our day that say that we allow this even for a Beitza, and we would allow this in this situation, Lichol Eina. Fine, that concludes the second Chumrah that Rabbi Gamliel Paskin in the Mishnah from yesterday, like Beis Shammai. And now we go to the third one. The third one, we said, was Ve'ein Ofen Pitim Gritzen. You're not allowed to go and make these very thick loaves of bread or matzah, but you're only allowed to make thin ones, El Rikikin. And we explained in the Mishnah, the Maskana of our Gemara is because it's a Tircha Yisera to go make these thick loaves. But now we're going to have a discussion as to maybe that's not the reason first before we get to the final maskana. Tana Rabban, we learn the following brisa. Beshama yomrim ein ofin pas ovo bepesach. You're not allowed to go make thick loaves of matzah. The svaradim, the true svaradim, they even have these thick, softer loaves of matzah, as opposed to our Ashkenazic practices, which we just have these very thin, hard wafers of matzah. But Beshama says, you're not allowed to go and make these thick loaves, pas ovo, on Pesach, because Rashi explains the concern is that you're not going to go and kosel kadaitach sheinu yochol l'shamra mehechmitz. You can't be careful. It takes too much work and effort to keep on kneading this dough, and it could become chametz because it's so thick and big. However, Beisol Matirin, Beisol say it's perfectly permissible. No, how thick is thick? The kama pas ova. According to this opinion, Beisol, that you're allowed to make them these pitin gritzen, you can make them thick. How thick are you allowed to make them? So Rav Huna tefach. Rav Huna says a tefach, and this is based upon the lechem upon him. The lechem upon him, shekein motzinu b'lechem upon him tefach. There are two different understandings of the shape of the lechem upon him. Each one of them had a side of the lechem upon him that went up a tefach. So therefore, you can clearly go and make the lechem upon him, which have to be matzah, they can't be chametz. You can make them, obviously, if they're a tefach, not chametz, so too, in general, for Pesach, you can go make a pas over this pit and gritzin, no problem, as long as it's up to a tefach thick. So that's what Rav Huna said. Maskev of Rav Yosef had a lot of questions on this sheet of Rav Huna. He said, where did they make the lechem upon him in the Beis HaMikdash? Can you make an analogy, something that was permissible in the Beis HaMikdash with Kohanim, Zrizim, under very specific circumstances the Gemara is going to outline, to now make a general rule for every Tom, Dick, and Harry, that they can go bake these pas ova and not be concerned about chametz? So Maskev of Yosef, im amru b'zrizin, if you're telling me that the lechem upon him was made by zrizin, by the Kohanim, so yomer b'shen zrizin, are you telling me that therefore it's a carte blanche, heter, that anybody can go do this? And im amru b'pas ameila, the lechem upon him had to be worked very, very hard. Rashi brings down the Gemara over there in Menachos, which said that they had to go and do 300 shifa, shifshuf biyodo, to smooth it and rub it with your hands 300 times, and then you had to go the chamesh mios beita, to bang on it, to pound it, the egrof with your fist 500 times. So they would do, Rashi says, shof achas, they would rub it once and bo each time, and then bang it twice. Then they would shof shtayim, they would rub it twice and then bang it three times, for a total of 300 times of shifa and 500 times of beita. So that was guaranteed to prevent it from becoming chametz. So im amru b'pas ameila, they did that in the Beis HaMikdash. Yomru b'pas ameila, nobody does that when they're making matzah in their houses. So how can you tell me that just because they did it in the Beis HaMikdash, you could do it in your houses? And furthermore, in Marmu Beitzim Yaveshim, the Beis HaMikdash, they only used very well dried out wood. That's one of the six reasons why Tu B'Av was such a great day of Simcha, because now the sun was no longer strong enough, long enough in the sky to dry out the wood. So now they didn't have to do that avoda. They had more time to learn. That was one of the great Simchas of Tu B'Av. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they used very, very dry wood. In other words, it was very hot, and it would very quickly go and cook these thick loaves, bake these thick loaves. So therefore, that's why they didn't turn to chametz. So Amru Be'etzim Yaveshim, the Beis HaMikdash, Yom Be'etzim Lachim, nobody else necessarily uses such dried out wood. It's more expensive, and they'll use regular wood, which is not going to bake it so fast. And likewise, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Amru Be'tanur Cham, there the oven was constantly on. They were constantly doing all sorts of baking. Yomru betanur tzonin. Can you say the same thing that it won't be machmitz when you're starting off from a cold oven? Necessarily have it heated up. So therefore, it's not going to be the same as the lechem upon him. And the final characteristic, imamru betanur shomateches, the Beis HaMikdash Tanur had to be a kli. A kli, by definition, has to be made out of metal or certain other materials, but it can't be made out of cheres, like their ovens were made in chutz to the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, if you're saying that this is allowable, this Passover, with a metal oven, which gets very, very hot, who says that that same thing would apply? Yomru betanur shel cheres, the regular earthenware ovens that the regular people would use? So for all of these reasons, Rav Yosef did not like what Rav Huna said. And therefore, Amar Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, Rav Yirmiya bar Abba says, I personally, Sha'alis es Rabbi b'yichud. I asked my Rabbi b'yichud, means, Rashi says, privately. Beini leveino. So Rav Yirmiya bar Abba asked his Rabbi, who's his Rabbi? Gemara says, Umanu, Rab. His Rabbi was Rab. And he said, what does the word Passover mean? My Passover. It's not a thick loaf like we just said. It means pas meruba. It means a lot of bread. Rashi says, v'lami shum chimas. It has nothing to do with chimas. Right, well, more or less, what we're talking about Pesach, then it should be applicable to all the other Yom Tovim as well. The more we say, yeah, it is talking about all the other Yom Tovim. So it's not because of a chimas concern over here like we originally saw. Kosoka daitach, shenecholi shamu mehechmetz. No, that's not the reason. What's the reason? El mishum did tarach. Tircha yisera. You're doing a lot of extra work by making all these loaves of bread, and it looks like you're making it for after Yontif. That's why Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to make this pitin gritzin, this Passover. It means a lot of breads, nothing to do with chametz. Ika di Amre, others had that it wasn't Rav Yirmiya bar Abba who said this to his Rebbe Rav, but it was Rav himself. Am Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, am a Rav. Shailas says Rabbi Yichud. Rav Yirmiya Rabba said that Rav had said that he asked his Rebbe, who was Rav's Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Umanu Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he, Rav, asked Rebbe, my Passover, what does it mean Passover, this pit and greets in? It means Passover, it means a lot of loaves, and there's a concern is that you look like you're making it for after Yontif. Why did they call it Passover? If I might correlate Passover, why did they call it Pas Meruba? So the board says, Bishum Dinafisha Belisha, because there was a lot of work, Meruba, there was a lot of work in doing the lush, doing the kneading process over here. So that's why it was called Passover. You were kneading so many loaves, so they started off with a big dough, and only afterwards they divided up. So it's called a thick dough, because they divided it up only afterwards, after they kneaded it. Alternatively, Inami, Biasrei Daitana, Pas Meruba, Passover, correlate. No, that happened to be the name. In this area where this Tana said, in our Mishnah, these pit and greets in our Passover, so this was the term that they used for Pas Meruba. So just that was the normal lexicon that they had. Gemara says, Michtei, Mishum de Kotarach Tircha de Lot Sarachu, the reason that we said you're not allowed to do this according to Beis Shammai is because you're doing unnecessary Tircha. My ear, your Pesach. So then why do we say that this was a din in Pesach? It should be a din. Afilu b'shar yom tovim nami. What does that have to do with Pesach? If we said our original supposition that it was a din of chametz isn't correct, so then why did the Tana tell us this din by Pesach? The din should be applicable to all yom tovim. So Gemara says, you're right. Enocha nami. V'tana b'yom tov de Pesach koi. The Tana was discussing the halachas of Pesach. Shloshim yom lefnei chag. So he was talking about the halachas of Pesach. So he said, by the way, for Pesach, don't make Passover. You wouldn't be allowed to do this on Yontif. But it was a din of Yontif and not a din of Pesach. And the Brisa says the same thing. Tani nami hochi, Beis Shammai yomrim, ein ofen pas meruba b'yontif, o Beis Hillel matir. And the Brisa says, beferish, you're not allowed to make pas meruba. It doesn't call it pit and greets, it doesn't call it pas ova, it calls it pas meruba. The Brisa says, beferish, this answer. Beis Shammai says no, Beis Hillel says yes. That concludes the discussion on the last Mishnah, which had three statements, three dvarim, they're Rabbi Gamliel, paskin l'chumra, like Beis Shammai. Our now Mishnah tells us, Afu Amar Shlosh Dvarim L'Hakel. Rabbi Gamliel paskin three ways like Beis Hillel to be Mekel. And what are those? Number one, Mechabdin Beis Hamitos. Rashi explains all three of them. Rashi says the first one is that they used to eat on these low-lying beds, like couches, Ochlin Agabimitos. So afterwards there was a mess on the floor. There were crumbs all over the place. So they had dirt floors. Nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel allowed you to sweep it up, and he wasn't concerned about ashvi gumas, that you'd be filling in holes in the floor. So he allowed you to go and sweep the floors in your place where you ate, even though there were dirt floors. That's number one. Number two, umeinichin es hamugmer b'yontif. He allowed you to go and put incense on coals on yontif, and even though this isn't something that was shovel l'chol nefesh, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara, it's not something that everybody did, only delicate people or rich people did this. Nevertheless, he allowed everybody to do this, even though it wasn't something that was shavah l'chol nefesh. And number three, he wasn't concerned that people might mistakenly think that you're allowed to eat kachim nowadays outside the Beis HaMikdash, and he allowed the people to make for their night the food that they would eat on the night of Leil Pesach, v'osin gidi makulus b'leil Pesachim. He allowed them to go and roast something that looked like the Karban Pesach. They made it in the same way that the Karban Pesach was, that they roasted this entire gidi with its insides, the kishkas of it, the same way they did in the Beis HaMikdash. So he allowed them to go and do this gidi makulus on Leil Pesach, because he wasn't concerned that people would mistakenly think that you're rarely allowed to have kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So these were three areas where Rabbi Gamliel was lenient. The Chacham Moshim, the Chacham said, no, in all three of these things, we are concerned. In the first case, that you're going to be mashva gumos, that you're going to fill in the holes in the ground intentionally. In the second case, this is something that's not shavah l'chol nefesh, and therefore you can't do it. And in the third case, they were concerned that people would mistakenly think that you're allowed to eat kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Vasi, the Gemara starts off and says, Machlokes legamer, in the case that we said you're allowed to go put mugmur on the coals according to Rabbi Gamliel, but not according to the Chachamim, they're arguing, there's a machlokes in a mission between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, only in regards to legamer begodim, to go and have these clothings have this nice fragrance from the incense. So you put your clothing on top of it to give the clothing a nice smell. Abel or riach, but if it's just to make the room have a nice smell, then even the Chachamim, Divrei HaKol, Mutter. Even the Chacham would say that's permissible. That's something that's Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Everybody likes to have a nice smelling room. Mor says that's not true. Meisvei, the following Brisa seems to say that that isn't correct. What does the Brisa say? The Brisa says, Ein mechabdin beis hamitos b'yontif. The Brisa says that you not only go sweep up the floor where you eat in the dining room, you're on these low beds, these couches, and you're eating there, you're not allowed to sweep up the dirt floors because of the concern of Ashmi Kumos, so that you're going to fill in the holes. However, Bishal Beis Rabban Gamliel, in the house of Rabban Gamliel, Mechabdin, he permitted it. Now, that is the Tanakama's point of view. But Omer Rabbi Elazar Ber Tzadok said, Pa'omim harbi nichnasti achar abba lebeis Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi Elazar, who visited often the house of Rabban Gamliel, said, I often went with my father to the house of Rabban Gamliel. Rav Tzadok, his father, and Rabbi Eliezer, the son, went to Rabbi Gamliel's house often, and he saw, they did not sweep their floors on Yontif like you're saying that they did. What did they do? They swept the floors very well, Erev Yontif, and then they put out sheets, uparsin alein sadinin, so they put covers on the dirt floor, which they would, therefore, people would step on, it wouldn't make the floor all dusty and messy. And Lamachar, the next day, Kisha Orchim Nichnasim, if any guests came, they took off the sheets, Besalkinus Asadinim, and now the floor looked like it had been just swept. Venimsa Bayis Miskabe Me'ela, it looked like the house was swept, and therefore they didn't sweep it on Yontif. You're wrong, Rabbi Elazar Ber Tzadok said to the Tanakama. Amlo, the Chacham and the Tanakama said back to him, they said, Imkain, if that was the case, Apishabas Mutalasus Kain, then it wouldn't have told us this on Yontif. It would have said it on Shabbos. Okay. That's the first part of this brisa. That has nothing to do with our question right now. Again, our question is this a machlokis of Megamer only by clothing? But everybody's Divrei HaKol is masking, you'll have to do it in the house. So now we get to the question that we ask on Rav Asi's statement, who said that. The Ein Manichin, it said likewise in this brisa, you're not allowed to go put Esamugmer b'yontif. You're not allowed to go put the incense on the coals on Yontif. However, that's the Tanakama's opinion. The Shalbeis Rabban Gamliel Meinichen, in his house they would do this. And again, Amar Rabbi Eliezer Ber Tzadok, Rabbi Eliezer said that that's not true. Pa'amim harbe nichnasti achar abba lebeis Rabban Gamliel. I went with my father of Tzadok many times to the house of Rabban Gamliel. And they didn't do this. V'loi Meinichen Esamugmer b'yontif. You're wrong. They didn't put the Mugmer on the coals on Yontif. What did they do? Ella mevi'in ardaskos shel barzel. Ardaskos shel barzel are some sort of a kli that they would go and put incense and burn it inside of it. But they would close it off so the smell didn't go away. Uma'ashdin osom Erev Yontif. They would light it up and burn the incense inside of it on Erev Yontif. But pokikin nikveim Erev Yontif. They didn't let the aroma, the beautiful smell, leave. They plugged up all the holes that were in this kli so the aroma stayed inside. Then on Yontif, lamachar, when the guests were coming to the house, they opened up this kli,
Poschines nikveh, and they opened up the holes, and therefore the aroma now could spread out throughout the house. And now the house had a beautiful aroma, but they didn't do it on Yontif, they did it on Erev Yontif. Now what do you see? You clearly see that this is talking about Megamer, the house, not Megamer Begodim, and the Tanakhama says they did it, and Rabbi Eliezer, Rav Tzadok said that they didn't do it. So therefore, how can you tell me it's Divrei HaKol? In any event, that's the question, but let's finish off the Brayso. So Amar lo, the Chacham said to him, Im Kain, if what you're saying is right, Ap Shabbos Mutar La'asos Kain, then why do they mention this on Yontif? Obviously, you're wrong. We're not saying that what you saw isn't right, but their opinion was in Rabbi Gamliel's house that you're allowed to do this on Yontif itself. Now, from this second case of this Brayso, you clearly see that our Mishnah is not Divrei HaKol for Megamer the house. You clearly see, according to the Chachamim and the Tanakhim over here, they hold, the Rav Gamliel said you can do this for the house, but the Chachamim say you can't do this for the house. So how can you, Rav Asi, say that our Mishnah is the Divrei HaKol? So what says Yataka right? Eliit mar, if Rav Asi really said something, Hochiit mar, this is what Rav Asi said. Om Rav Asi said, the machlokis la riach, that the machlokis between the Tanakhim, the Chachamim, and Rav Gamliel is, are you allowed to go and burn the incense for the house? So there, Rabbi Gamliel says yes, and the Chacham say no. Avolagamer begadim, to go and put the clothing underneath this smoke to get the clothing to smell good. Also, that everybody would say is no good, even Rabban Gamliel. Mara says, Iboilu, they ask the following shalom beis medrash, Mahu liyashin, are you allowed to go and smoke fruits on Yontif? Rashi says, Peros be'oshon besomim. Liklo tamabosim. So you have this incense. According to Rabbi Gamliel, you're allowed to do this. Not a problem. Or you did it before Yontif. And now you want to put the fruits underneath this smoke, in this smoke, in order to go and have a nice smell to the fruits. Are you allowed to do this or not? That's what they ask in the base medrash. So we have a machlokas. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba Rav. No, asur. And Shmuel Amar Mutar. Shmuel said it's Mutar. Why did Rav say it's asur? Rav Huna Amar. The reason that Rav said it's asur is mipnei shemechabe, because as you put the spice over here on the coals, it's going to actually put out the coals. The initial thing is going to put out the coals, and you're not allowed to do it. That's why you can't do this. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, the name amar mipnei shemavir, why aren't you saying the isur is mavir, that you're lighting these incense? Why isn't that a problem? Why are you saying you're extinguishing the coals? Why not say you're lighting the incense? So Rav Huna says, because what comes first? Amalei, techilas u'mechabe. The first action that occurs is it puts out the fire a little bit, and only the sulfa ma'avir. So therefore, I said the first thing that happens. Amar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, agabe gacheles osur. To actually put the incense on top of the coals itself, everybody would say that that's osur, as Rashi points out. Because there, clearly, it's mechabe u'mavir. You're putting it out, and then you're lighting it. So nobody would say that that's permissible. But Agabe cheres, we turn to Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, to put it on a piece of cheres, of earthenware, that would be permissible. As Rashi points out, this cheres was hachi siko, so this would be permissible, mutter, because the kibuleka, you're not making the cheres go out because it's not a fire. And havarinami, it's not really burning, aide shinoi, this is a shinoi, klachayad, and therefore it's not an issa daraisa. So that's why you're allowed to do this. Nevertheless, Rabba still said it's no good. Rabba Amar, even agabe cheres nami osur. Rabba said, even on a kli cheres, it is not allowed. Why? Mishum deka molid recha. Ah, it's this machlokus over here. You're not allowed to be molid recha. As Rashi says, shenichnas becheres, it goes inside this utensil. Shalom b'yarech. It didn't have this reach beforehand. But also be the Rabbanan. And you're not allowed to do this as it did the Rabbanan. Shamolid dover chadosh karuvu laose melacha chadosha. It looks too much like a new melacha, and be the Rabbanan, it is forbidden to do so. Just to finish up the sugya, the Gemara continues, says, Rabba v'Rav Yosef, Dami Tarvayu. Both Rabba and Rav Yosef said, Sechufe kasa. What is Sechufe kasa? It's l'chafos kos mevusam ala shiroyim shel mabush. To go put a cup that had spices inside of it, and it's a nice smelling aroma inside of it, to go put that on top of your garment of silk, shiroyim is silk, l'hachtes ben reach, Habosem Shibakos, to give it the nice, beautiful smell from the cup into the silk. So, Sechufe Kasa, to go and overturn this cup, Ashiroib, on the silk, on Yantib, Yomataba, that's also, that's forbidden. Why not? My timer. Mishum, the Kamolid Rech, like we just said, it is Molid Rech, and that's not allowed. Ah, the Gemara says, Umayishna, why is this any different? Mimolo, Umeriachbo. A person is allowed to go take a piece of aromatic wood, and molel, we always said molel means to roll it in between your fingers, and that's going to give off the beautiful aroma from the wood, and you're allowed to go smell that. That's allowed. So how come you're not allowed to do this? The kot mo miriachpo, you're allowed to go and likewise go and cut a little bit of this wood in order that it should give off its smell. Now, you're not cutting it off from the ground. Rashi points out it's already been cut. Otherwise, you'd have a malacha of cutting from the ground. So you have a branch or a piece of wood over here that's already cut. So you're allowed to go and rub it in your hands, or you're allowed to cut it a little bit in order to be molid reyach. So how come here you're allowed to be molid reyach? And by the case of schufi kasa shiro, you're not allowed to. So Gemara says, a big difference. Hasam recha miya osa. By the wood, what we said, you're allowed to be molo meriachbo, kot mo meriachbo, that's because it already has a beautiful fragrance over there. And by your rubbing it with your fingers or cutting it a little bit, you're just adding a little bit to the reach that's already there. But hacha, in the case of when you wanted to put the incense on the klicheres, or in the case of Rabbi and Yosef, where you wanted to put the cup of the fragrant cup on top of the silk garments, hacha oludehu the kamolid reach. You're creating a reach in either the earthenware or in the shrayim. That's not allowed. So therefore, that's the difference between these cases. It is a good break point, so we'll stop the shiur for today.